Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Boom. Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's you and
best
me.
Day of me the week.
Still got a little of the Nashville vibes going through me. Just ready to pop, lock, and drop it.
Yeah, you look like you're very well rested, Will.
It was a great weekend. Hey, I had a great weekend of rest. What are you talking about? I took two naps. Yeah, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal. How was your week? We took a week off, so... Curious to hear how it all went for you.
Yeah, it's been busy. As you'll see on the screen, I've started my own business with a few others, and we'll get into that more on this show. But joining the many, many entrepreneurs that we saw during the COVID times break off and start doing their own thing.
I love it. So yeah, we'll get into it. I want to ask you some questions, but what was the big aha moment? Was it something that happened on the show that like made you want to go create, or
I mean, we've dropped hints for a while of something that I was wanting to go out and build, but at the same time, you know, I wouldn't say it was any singular event. It was just a series of events that played out in a certain way that led me to where I am, and that is life, you know.
Certain events played out, and then you took the leap of faith. You started your own company with some other founders, and now you're ready to rock, take over the world, huh?
That is very true. We're ready to go. It's been fun. I've been kind of under the radar for a few weeks, but here we are. Storied Collection. We'll get into it.
Dope. Well, yeah, I was going to say, do you want to tell anybody, like for the listeners and the viewers, we have quite a few live right now. Do you want to give them a glimpse, a 30, 60-second pitch? What is Storied?
Yeah, so we're building a collection of castle, chateau, and manor house hotels, primarily across UK and Ireland to begin, hopefully pan-Europe afterwards. But starting out as a collection, we're going to start acquiring several of these properties ourselves later this year, early next. And then going to build a soft brand out of the collection and out of the hopeful successes of the ownership that we have. So, you know, a typical castle or manor house today can't be a Marriott because the room sizes are different. The, you know, entryway or signage or even branding can't be part of a typical brand. So we're trying to follow the path of design hotels, which picked a super specific niche, scaled it, and then sold it off to Marriott. So Marriott, I've given you a lot of props on this show for many years. A few years from now, would love for that to be reciprocated.
One day you'll be purchased by Marriott, and then you'll be working.
Whose brand is it anyway?
Yeah.
we'll be getting into that segment pretty good. We'll just start showing all the castles every week instead. But just want to say, as a what we've been co-hosting the show together with Ross for almost 2 years, so I just want to say I'm really, really excited for you, and really, you know, much love going out to Storied, and excited to watch the journey unfold.
Trying to follow the path of you and Ross of starting your own businesses. So,
hey, you know, founders helping founders.
That's right. Founders helping founders.
Awesome. Well, to jump into the next, I would say, quick segment. I wish you were here at this conference that we were at last week in Nashville, put on by our boy Mike Shogren and also Bill Faith. And so for anyone watching, I see a lot of Facebook people on right now, so I'm assuming that's some people from the conference. Really good event. Like, it was, you remember trying to get a hold of me a couple of times, and I was just completely off-grid. Not off-grid, you're in Nashville, but you know, just completely sucked into the energy in the room. It was really awesome to be with everyone in person again. We got a good congratulations also from Mads.
Thanks, Madison.
Woohoo. But no, it was just a killer experience. And knowing that, you know how VRMA is, and this is not at all a massive, you know, jab to VRMA, but it kind of is in some way, that there were so many new and hungry and really creative operators that had joined, you know, short-term rental industry through, you know, co-hosting, through buying their own property, through helping a friend or a family out, and using Airbnb as a proper tool, and not, you know, creating their brand on Airbnb, but really just saying, okay, this is a barrier to entry. We can learn as we go. They have a passion for people. And it was just really awesome. Like, it was 1,000 people sold out, and it was very educational and connection focused. So it was just an incredible event.
I think there's basically, I mean, through the past few years, it's basically become two industries. There's the traditional vacation rental, which is tied in with VRMA. And then there's the either urban or, I don't, this isn't my term, but I've seen it somewhere, a rentalpreneur, a person who just kind of falls into it and it becomes their job. And then they want to pursue education and learning and how to be better at it. And they really serve two very different markets. I think it's kudos to Shogren, big fan, obviously, guy knows his stuff and can pull a crowd. Is there 1,000 people there or something?
Sold out the venue, like, at capacity. They said if anybody else shows up, like, trying to buy a ticket, they had to refuse entry. So it was pretty well packed.
I hope he's on vacation this week. You've earned it, Mike.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. And it wasn't just like the educational piece, but as like, now that you're in the entrepreneurial phase of your life, I think, you know, Mike was the closing session on the first day. So like Monday, we had like the opening party at night. Tuesday was like game time, 7 a.m. doors open all the way until about 5 p.m. And Mike shut it down on Tuesday. And he told me backstage or behind the scenes that, you know, he was like, yeah, I was going to really just talk shop operations, scalability, what do you call it? System, whatever your systems, all the other stuff that you have in place. And his wife was like, no, you need to tell like the story of like how you kind of built this life. So yeah, like we can easily get caught up in the talking shop, but he got to share a story about his son, the journey that him and his wife and his family went through, and the moment of like, this is it. I've had enough living my job, working for somebody else, running out of hours, running out of, you know, paid time off. I want to create this life of, you know, financial freedom for myself. And just, he went through on how he did that day by day, week by week, month by month, mentorship, all the other stuff. So it wasn't just a, let's talk about short-term rentals, real estate, all this other stuff. It was really like inspirational, almost like even emotional, tearjerker kind of closing.
You shed a tear, Will?
Oh, dude, he got me. He got me good.
Yeah, I think it's, it was,
It was really good.
I think it's a path that a lot of people can relate to as well, right? Like,
yeah,
leaving the 9-to-5, starting your own is scary. A lot of people fail at it. A lot of people struggle, you know, mightily. And then there's an aha moment or there's a breakthrough. Or, I mean, the worst case scenario, you get back to a 9-to-5, right?
Yeah.
But Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena, there's something to be said about people willing to give it a shot. And, you know, it's a good old American dream.
Well, I remember my last day of work as a hotel manager, December 27th, 2019, December 28th. All as I said to myself all day long, sink or swim, sink or swim, sink or swim, sink or swim, sink or swim. And, you know, I think you just got to like keep pushing no matter what. There is going to be a ton of challenging times. It's going to be shitty sometimes. I know Mike didn't have it the way he has it now right out the gate. But, you know, setting goals, doing all this other stuff, it was really inspirational. So I love the conference. I think VRMA needs to do better at being more inclusive with this type of host versus vacation rental manager type stuff. But I think, you know, this is going to be an interesting year where we're probably going to see a meeting of the minds basically on kind of both sides. Hopefully I would love to see that. I would prefer that we don't continue to be VRMA short-term rental hosts, whatever you want to kind of call this segment. I would really love for, there's a lot we can learn from both sides, you know, like just like we learn from hotels learn from short-term rentals, you know.
If you boil learnings down to one or two things, rapid fire, Will. What's the biggest takeaway and what's the secondary takeaway?
I would say that the boiling down, the number one thing I took away from it was online, we see a lot of people that are either strictly co-hosting or like management model, right? They do a rev share with the owner, or it's just arbitrage, or it's just they own. I saw like everybody in the room was a mix of everything. There was like, oh, I have one arbitrage unit that we're trying out. I own two and I co-host five. Like, okay. Like they have a spread portfolio. And for me, I've never kind of looked at, like I've always been told or kind of thought like you need to pick one. But it seems to work because they can kind of scale and manage their cash flow and their assets through different ones. So that for me was interesting because it made me kind of open up and go, maybe, you know, for recreation stays or recreation rentals, you know, maybe we could, you know, diversify our portfolio a little bit through the real estate side, that, you know, I just never thought we'd ever go down, but
I wasn't there, but just getting a takeaway on that takeaway to me, it tells me that it's still very early days in the industry. And the fact that like, you know, we've been at it, short-term rentals has been at it for a long time, but I like to peg the founding of Airbnb as kind of the start of short-term rentals. It's not, don't yell at me, I know, but that's kind of when it became more mainstream. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been at it 10, 12 years, but people are still trying out new models and testing new things. And, you know, I've been saying for probably 5 years that owner operators, the best way to go if you have the capital. There's people that have done it, but really 2022 has been the year of institutional capital coming in and trying to buy it. So it creates its own problem, but we're on to the next phase, the next iteration. Master rent, master leasing wasn't really a thing. I was part of it at Rented in the very earliest days of master leasing short-term rentals. 100%. But, you know, business models are better or worse in different economic environments. So master leasing, any arbitrage, the window closes. Arbitrages aren't open forever. That's why they're called arbitrage. If they were, then, you know, I guess good for whoever's been exploiting it. But, you know, buying, just 2 months ago, you could buy a new car and turn around and sell it for $10,000 more than you bought it for. But that window's closed now. It didn't last very long. And so it's interesting. You know, the best way for the past 5 years, in my mind, was owner operator. But now we might be getting towards where that's not the best way, with interest rates being continuing to rise and costs of homes continuing to rise as well. So
yeah,
all windows and business models have a life cycle.
Well, and one big thing I noticed too is that when it comes to tech stacks, vacation rental management companies are on the heavy side, because they have to be. Like, they're dealing with big homes and probably spread out through multiple different locations in maybe one state. But the like co-hosting, short-term rental, arbitrage, master lease side, like, they have a little bit of tech, smart locks, most likely a breezeway, some kind of channel management, because they're all, you know, I don't think anyone there was just on Airbnb. I think they had a mix of Vrbo and other platforms, but like property management, yeah, property management software, access control, like Operto or Remote Lock, or like all these types of stuff, that was not there. So like, there's a Noise Aware was popular in the room, in the sense of like, they would have like in one or two units, but they wouldn't have them in all. So it was like, okay, interesting. Like, to me, it was just, you know, trying to figure out, like, you know, why are people not using Safely? The number one thing I kept hearing, people were like, oh man, my linen, going through linen all the time and going through this. I'm like, you got to get these products that are helping you. Like, you know, there's some easy research, and not to do like a shameless plug, but I was like, go to hospitality.fm, search these topics and find where these content is coming from, because there's tons of resources there. And yep. So
shameless plug.
Yeah, shameless plug. But it was like, at the end of the day, that's why we built it, right? It's like, we want to be a hub where it's like, you have a question about housekeeping, about insurance, taxes, accounting, whatever. Like, you can go find some kind of dedicated resource. So
yeah,
it's very interesting.
Well, circling back to a little bit of news, since yeah, we're skipping our segments this week. You know, I mentioned all business models go through their ebbs and flows. Mm-hmm. And last week was pretty rough week for one of the biggest master leasing companies out there, Sonder. They're down, I think, 88%. It's definitely north of 80. I think it's 88% since listing. And last week, Mahar goes out to the 20% of their staff that was laid off. You know, it is very, very normal for a company about 6 months after the IPO to start doing layoffs, because the street starts putting pressure on them. And, you know, I would keep my eye out if I was an employee over at Vacasa, because they're on a similar trajectory. But ultimately, that could be, you know, we talked about at the top of the show, a catalyst of things that kind of come together that push someone to go start their own business. It could be that the next, you know, 10 best short-term rental companies come out of people that were cut from Sonder, or maybe cut mm-hmm. from Vacasa. So I think some companies will capitalize on it and get better because they can hire some of these people that were laid off. But at the same time, it hopefully will be a catalyst for a lot of people that wanted to go start their own business to actually take the learnings that they've amassed and go put them to use.
100%. And they probably see the gap, right? Like, where's Vacasa, where's Sonder, where are they failing? Yeah. How can we create something, whether they're technical, like a technical co-founder, or maybe more a visionary that can find the right people and put them in the right place to do that. That's where, again, I'm reading this book. I'm slowly reading this book, I should say. I think I've had this book since Cancun. The Super Founders book is just basically going through like these companies that are, you know, either 100 million this plus. No, this, Super this, Founders.
It's called The Founders. It's the story of all of the founders and early stage employees of PayPal.
And okay.
Just the 8 or 10 people that went on to go have their own unicorn after that.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that, but in a more of like, all right, what's unicorn sense? It's not just like where he kind of analyzes what makes them successful. Was it, did they go to like a proper college? Were they, you know, college dropouts? Were they do a deep analysis, and then they like compare it to 200 other founders in different industries and segments is pretty interesting. But you know, he's like kind of, I know you got a point, but is going through that, like a lot of people like from LinkedIn have, you know, they left LinkedIn and created a bunch of backend supporting software. You probably would never know the name. You never know the name, but they're 100+, maybe a $1 billion company. And all because, like you said, the catalyst of like, they saw the backend working, they develop a product internally. You know, Wheelhouse from Lyric is a great example. You know, like they built that Wheelhouse while they were operating Lyric. Lyric shut down. Guess what? Yep. They spun that off.
And a plug for another company, DTravel, is started by former Airbnb, former Expedia, former Booking people. They're literally taking the learnings from all of these major platforms and building the next major platform. I think a catalyst there was COVID, and a lot of people got laid off. Not sure if any of the team members were part of that or not from DTravel, but they saw that there's too much power and control in the hands of the OTAs. So they're building a more decentralized platform, and it's empowering to the host and the manager. So I mean, take learnings, go start your own thing. Like, part of Storied's story is that no one's focusing on a niche that people really find fascinating. I haven't spoken to one person that said, oh, castles, I hate them. Like, why would I would never want to stay in one of those. Like, that's a terrible idea. But if you crack in a step or two deeper, you've got like the second property that I spoke to, I did the research on, it's called Fenton Tower in Scotland. Spoke to the GM, and before the call, I realized that my 13th great grandfather was the owner of this place, and just like crazy fortune or whatever, like this was the second property that I spoke to. So super cool. And then, you know, speaking with another colleague of mine who, his dad passed away when he was in college, and he wanted to find more about his dad and his heritage and all of that. And he tracked it back to a small town in Ireland. And there's a manor house of his family from way back when. And he's gone there and stayed there three times since his dad has passed about 10, 15 years ago. So, you know, there's really cool connections that you can see that I think, you know, the big platforms and OTAs miss, and the big brands kind of miss, because they're just pushing heads in beds and they miss the story altogether. And the story is what people remember. When people have told me they've stayed in a castle, I ask them which one, and they can't tell you, but they can always tell you a story that they learned about that property.
So hashtag just got storied.
That's right. That's where the name comes from. So it's, I think that's a gap in the market. And then, you know, people like to travel in niches, countryside, experiential, Instagrammable. Like, you know, this segment checks it all off. So, glad to say we just signed one of the biggest ones this morning, Ashford Castle in Ireland. So exciting morning for the team over here at Storied, but it's off to the races. We're going to be launching this fall, and we can do a big old campaign coming up.
I'm super excited, and it's super cool. Like, because this is all for everyone listening or watching, this has all been talked about for months behind the scenes. Like, it hasn't just kind of like, oh, Michael started Storied and here we go. But you know, it's going on for months behind the scenes. And the coolest thing about it is that, the fact that our business is focusing on niche categories, right? Like, this is very unique. And I think, you know, I hate the term riches and niches, because I think that can be over, you know, it's a pretty term that everyone thinks if they start a super specific business in a super specific niche, that's going to be hugely successful, which I don't agree across the board. But I think if you get a broad enough category that does have some kind of specialty to it, that itself can be really,
yeah. I mean, we're under no illusion that we're a billion-dollar business. There's not that many castles out there. But it is plenty large to be a $100 million business. And that's just fine with us. You know, I think a lot of people want to be the next super founder and have a unicorn. But there's nothing wrong with building a great company and being okay without taking massive rounds that put insane valuations on you that you have to live up to. And then, you know, you just get forced into making decisions that aren't the right move or you don't want to make because that's what the investors are wanting. So, you know, we've raised some money to date and they're all almost exclusively from the hospitality space. They get it. They see the niche is big enough and specific enough, but, you know, is untapped largely. So, you know, we're excited to see where this takes us. And if nothing else, it's going to be a heck of a journey to start it alongside of a couple amazing founders. But yeah, enough about that. One more big piece of news that came out.
I was just going to pull that up because I find this interesting because you talked about Design Hotels being acquired by Marriott. Well, Choice Hotels now has acquired Radisson or is going to by the end of 2022 for $675 million. And for me, I find this very, very interesting because if we rewind 3, 4, maybe 5 months ago, Radisson was pretty... I would say bullish to the point of like Marriott or Accor or a few other of these like well-known brands. But I will say from what I've heard in the industry, they were trying to get a bigger footprint in America, trying to become a better known brand. And this wasn't just a short-term play to be acquired within 5 months. It was a long-term play.
But sometimes it's better. I mean, kudos to the Radisson team if that was the strategy and you realize at the end of the day, it's better just to team up with someone. No shame in that.
Shame in it. But I just can't believe, like in my head, Choice is going to ruin the brand. That is my call. I think Choice Hotels is going to put their crappy design logos all over the place, and then they're going to have this crappy waffle bar, and it's just going to.
The Radisson brand stick. They're going to let they're buying the brand because it's a household brand.
But guess what? Choice Hotels has had the same pattern of like, okay, they're Holiday Inns. They're, you know, whatever main, they're mostly a Holiday Inn company. Like that is their known.
Holiday Inn is owned. They're not owned by Choice. They're owned by IHG, I believe.
No. Oh, wait, they are. Okay. You're right. But Choice Hotels. Okay. So, yeah, you got me there. I did forget about that. Okay, whatever. I still think that Choice Hotels is going to ruin it over a certain period of time. It may not be immediately. It will be soon, though, because it's just not.
How would we play whose brand is it anyway without companies buying brands and keeping them? They're going to keep the brand.
The brand, but it's not going to be a really good experience. Like, I think they're going to just ruin it. They don't know. I think that they are trying to get into categories or segments of lodging that they just really don't belong in. Like they're not an upscale or mid-scale type brand. Choice Hotels is definitely a lower economy scale.
Yeah, but you said Radisson wants to grow their footprint in the US. What if Choice wants to grow their footprint in Europe? Obviously they do. They bought Radisson. So,
well, this is for the Americas. This wasn't
just the Americas.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I didn't miss that.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, because it is a Chinese company, I think. So, I don't quote me on that. I just think from what I heard through some other people.
Well, we've missed a few marks so far, so let's that's not accurate.
Yeah, I'll double check do a fact check. But I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Choice. I think that they're trying to get into segments that they don't really belong. They're definitely an economy scale brand. They're not a mid or upper scale. So,
doesn't Radisson play at multiple levels though?
Well, like you have Radisson blue, Radisson red, and I don't remember what other colors. I think there's Radisson green. But again, all pretty similar. There's not much difference. I've stayed in probably every single one of them when I was doing my little road tour last year in 2021. Nothing special, and they're all rundown buildings. So, you know, the buildings were nothing impressive. The beds and the bars and the lounges.
Yeah, I don't think that's fair, yeah. Will. There's plenty that are in great shape, that are well taken care of, that have great owners. Like, but we'll see. That's beside we'll the point.
Well, hey, let's go. Let's find a route in Augusta at next week, and we'll report live there and see if you can change my mind.
All right.
All right. That'd be good. All right. Well, we don't have a Whose Brand Is It Anyways again. Sorry. Choice Hotels. There you go. Got it. But good week. Really exciting. So I guess my like last final thought, if you didn't attend the STR Wealth Conference last year, you need to attend it this coming up year in 2023. They haven't announced a venue, but they got enough feedback that they're going to do it again. So hopefully that will happen and we'll see everyone there. Congratulations, Mr. Golden, on Storied. Very excited to watch the journey and to continue to discover what you guys discover through through this growth and through this business.
Well, we'll be transparent to the audience at every step that we can be. So the listeners are along the journey with us.
Amen. Well, that's it for Good Morning Hospitality, and we'll see everyone again next week.